Welcome to the Optimal Health Community Call. We are so excited that you are here with us tonight. And I want to just introduce myself. I am Vicki, and tonight I'm going to have with me Carrie and Michelle. And I just want to point out the impact disclaimer here. You guys check it out. You know that we as coaches are trained and we get paid very well for helping other people. So we're so glad that you're here. And if you want to read the entire disclaimer, Chris is dropping the link for that in the chat and you can check it out there. All righty. Well, you guys, I want to tell you a little bit about myself, first of all, and I want to tell you what our topic is tonight, because tonight we're talking about getting the best results. Oh my goodness. I would love to see in the chat, what does best results look like to you? I'm going to be checking out the chat here. I want to see what you think. How do you know if you're getting the best results? Let me see what you guys think. What do best results look like? I still have a lot of people telling me where they're coming from. Steady energy, loose clothes, yes, being consistent, noticing how you're feeling, energy, love that. Oh my goodness, now it's coming in fast, feeling stronger, feeling and looking good, looser clothes, health. You guys, this is so great. I love that it's not just saying the numbers on the scale. There's so many things that help us know that we are getting our best results. And so we're going to do a little poll here before we get started. And I'm going to have Chris drop this poll up for me so that we can take this. Here we go. I want you to tell me right now, I am getting my best results. Results? What results? Or I vaguely remember getting my best results in the past, but now I feel kind of stuck. We just take a couple of seconds and you guys let me know where you're at. And while those results are coming up, I want to tell you my story just real briefly. You guys, next month, I mean, May is just around the corner here. And 11 years ago in May, I decided to hang up my hat of being a serial dieter. And I'm telling you what, I had some habits down. I mean, I am in my 50s and I had some pretty strong habits. And some of those habits were included things like quitting on myself or starting strong and then kind of just like trickling off. But when I said yes to doing this program, I lost 70 pounds and I felt like my best self. I was like, this is incredible. And I did all the things. I wonder if I have any other rule followers who are like, this is what you're supposed to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to weigh my food. I'm going to eat my fuelings. I'm going to drink my water, talk to my coach, read my life book. I did all of it. And then some things got a little loosey-goosey, if you know what I mean. And I'm going to have my friend Michelle come on and join me here. Because Michelle, I'm going to have you share your story in just a moment. But in the meantime, let's see what our friends, because we've got a lot of friends joining us here. And for those who are listening to the podcast later, I wonder what your answers are too. Are you getting your best results? Oh, check it out. Look at this. 51% are saying they're getting their very best results. We've got 7% saying results. What results? And 42% are saying that they vaguely remember getting best results in the past, but now they're feeling stuck. Oh, you guys, thank you for answering the question, because I think you're going to find this call to be pretty relatable, that sometimes we're in our sweet spot and are getting our best results, and then other times things have gotten a little wackadoodle and we're not getting the best results anymore. Michelle, can you relate to this at all?
Absolutely, Vicki. And I love when you share your story. I can totally relate because I remember when I started my health journey just over 3 years ago. And I first spent 9 months on my own trying to figure it out, trying all the stuff and having no results. And I was frustrated. I was tired. I was exhausted. And I had two little kiddos and they were not getting their best mom. And that hurt me so much. So when I started Optavia, I said, I'm going all in. I am doing everything I'm supposed to do. I was that rule follower. And I was able to release 74 pounds thanks to Optavia. And so I think one thing I'd love to talk about tonight is what are all those things we should be doing, right? So we talked about four components. So when we want to look at what we're doing and the results that we're getting, we first have to take a moment to just be honest with ourselves and do a little systems check. So with OptaVia, one of our first things we start with is our fueling technology. So one of the first questions we can ask ourselves is, are we fueling our body within the first half hour to hour of waking up in the morning? And then, are we fueling our body every 2.5 to 3 hours after that? Now, there are a bunch of wonderful fuelings out there. And as we go along, our friends might say, hey, did you see that little trick for your fueling? It tastes so good. Okay, they might, but buyer beware, you might be hacking yourself right out of fat burn. So make sure that if you want to be getting your best results, that you are adding exactly what is on those packages for those fuelings and not adding anything extra, nor skipping fuelings, because it's important that we get all of that nutrition in as well.
Oh, Michelle, those are so good. You know what? Along with fuelings, our lean and green is so important. And I find that that's a place where in the beginning we start measuring and we're doing our 5 to 7 ounces of protein. We're weighing or we're using measuring cups for our vegetables. We're measuring our healthy fats. And then over time, we can kind of get, lazy about weighing and measuring. So we need to practice that, doing that weighing and measuring and making sure that we're getting that full lean and green. And then how are we doing on condiments? We're going to talk a little bit more about sneaky condiments in a little bit here. And oh my heavens, the optional snack. Let me just tell you, nuts are holy cow. Like we can really, I can go on a whole tangent, can't I? Y'all have heard me do this, talking about how sneaky those nuts can be. So we need to be careful about not overdoing on things like nuts and cheese sticks, things like that, because that can really throw us off.
Right. And when we're starting something new, sometimes we need to create a new habit. So hydration can be a struggle for some when we're starting. So really 64 ounces of water is what we want to find ourselves having each day on a minimum. Really the sweet spot is that 80 to 100 ounces. So tracking that, measuring what kind of beverages are going in your mouth. You want the best results? Are you staying away from alcohol? If we're having other stuff, maybe sparkling water, making sure that there's 0 calories, 0 sugar, not having caffeine past noon, that's also really huge for making sure that you're getting optimal results too.
That's so good. And you guys, exercise is something that changes over time, right? As we start getting healthier, we hopefully are starting to incorporate more and more exercise, and that can also change things for us. So it's really important that we're working with our coach and talking about, okay, I've added exercise. I'm going this many days a week. This is how intense it is, because that could change some things. Even if you have a job that requires a lot of steps, like that counts. So those are things that can also change your program over time.
You know, Vicky, you talked about sneaky carbs before. So let's touch on that a little bit. You know, some of us, we might have some supplements, we might take some calcium, or maybe we're just coming upon that cold and allergy season. I know here in the Midwest, we're coming upon allergy season, getting over that cold and flu. And so some of those liquid medicines, those can have lots of carbs in them. Also, any gummy supplements, lots of carbs, you guys. So making sure that we're staying away from those, and then counting your condiments. So remember, when we're counting our condiments with our lean and green meals, that 1 gram of carb equals one condiment.
Yeah, you know what? I'm seeing some great comments in the chat right now. People are having some realizations like, oh my goodness, my gummy supplements. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation. And you know what? I talked to a lot of clients on Mondays, and this is a common phrase that I hear. I had a great week until. And that word until, like what comes after that is often the weekend. And so one of the things I think we have to be really careful about is be paying attention to our off-plan eating. Like we can do all the right things, right? We can eat our fuelings, not hack them, do our lean and green. We can do all the things we've talked about. And then our weekend becomes the weekend and we fall apart. And so it's super important that we're aware of what's going in our mouth that isn't in our OptaVia guide. What doesn't serve us? What is maybe showing more commitment to our current weight than where we actually want to be? So being mindful about weekend eating and other off-plan eating that can really take us astray, and emotional eating. And we're going to actually talk about that a little bit later too.
Other things that serve us that we want to pay attention to that we maybe not aren't always thinking of right away is sleep. Sleep is so important. So, how much sleep are you getting? Are you getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep? And what kind of quality of sleep are you getting? Dr. Anderson talks in our Habits of Health and Life book too about our morning routine and our twilight routine. So if we're having some trouble falling asleep, or with that routine, we really may need to look and spend some time in our morning routine and twilight routine to tweak that to optimize our health.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. And stress goes along with this too. Like, how are we managing our stress? Are we practicing some of the things that we learn in our life book and taking time to breathe, doing self-care, guys? That's important because when we get stressed, we can start making choices that aren't serving us. And I even saw, I think Chris wrote in the chat, there is no cheating on this. And that is so right. It's just that every day we're making choices, lots of them.
And the one thing that comes into choices is one of the biggest parts of this program that I didn't know would be so life-changing, and that's our mindset. So we have so many great tools with our mindset, and are we using them all? So first off is your coach. Are you connecting with your coach on a regular basis, on a weekly basis? Are you utilizing your life book? We have so many opportunities with Optavia to get involved in community. So right here tonight, you're getting involved with community. Are you sharing this with your family and friends and creating a community around you? And also with our mindset, we can take some time to track what are we doing for our sleep and writing that down and really understanding what kind of choices we're making.
I love that. Thank you so much, Michelle. I'm going to invite Carrie to join us because, Carrie, I am wondering if some of what Michelle and I've been talking to is relatable for you.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for asking me to join on the call because I feel like a lot of us can relate to when we get stuck or having the best results and really doing a systems check. So thanks so much for asking me to join. And just a little bit about my story, because I can relate to a lot of things that you shared tonight. I feel like I've been on a health journey my whole life, but I really jumped on board with the program back in 2015. Because I was just in a place where I was so uncomfortable. I was really embarrassed about where I was in my health, and I was not confident in the mirror. I was not confident in my clothes. I was tired, and I really desired to be my best self for not only myself, but my family, because my husband and I had three teenagers at the time. So I jumped in with both feet and trusted my coach. I dug into the program. I really started seeing changes right away, physically in my body. I started seeing the scale go down. I started noticing how I was thinking. I noticed some of my bad habits and changed habits. And I had ups and downs. I had ups and downs along my journey. I was not perfect, but I got to my healthy weight. I lost 40 pounds. I was planning on losing 20, but lost 40 pounds and went into optimization, and life was good, and I was going along. And then I noticed I'm just not feeling as good as I was. And life happened. And I wonder if some of you can relate to that. So I had to take a step back and really notice, okay, am I really using all of the tools that I was using when I first started working on my health? And I noticed that I was kind of easing up a little bit on some of my habits. I was not being consistent with some of my choices. And I had to ask, am I really using all the tools? Yeah, I'm using Stop, Challenge, and Choose. I'm walking through that. But I found that I was giving myself permission in that challenge and choose to choose things that weren't giving me the best results and kind of leading me off track. I don't know if you guys can relate to that.
I think that's so relatable. I'm seeing lots of people saying, yes, I relate. Yes, I relate in the chat. It's so true. And you know, we do a systems check like Michelle and I were talking about. And Michelle, you can come off mute here and join us too, because we've talked a lot about this. In fact, as we were getting ready for this, we had a great conversation about the fact that we can go through and we can think I'm doing all the right things, but another tool we have is stop, challenge, and choose. And sometimes we're asking ourselves the wrong questions. And there's some great questions that we can ask ourselves. I'm actually going to put some of these up on the screen because I think some people might want to take a picture of this, but we're going to be reading this too, so that everybody catches this. But Carrie, why don't you talk just a little bit about Stop, Challenge, and Choose and some of the questions we could be asking ourselves.
Yeah, well, we kind of know the first part of it, of stopping, pause, take a breath, really gives us a chance to think and awaken our awareness. And then when we go into that challenge piece, it's asking ourselves those questions and really being honest with ourselves, and then going on to that next step. So if we're talking about asking ourselves some of those questions, what are some of those questions that we should be asking ourselves? And one of them that has been key for me is just asking, am I hungry? And just taking a step back of, okay, yeah, I am, but would I choose something healthy? Would I go grab some cucumbers and celery? Or is it really something else that I'm wanting more? And so I think just really paying attention and being aware and asking yourself that question and being honest is so important. I know Michelle probably has another question she asked herself.
I do. And often I'm asking myself, am I thirsty? So, you know, taking it back to that tracking, how much water have I had today? How many fluids have I had? Could I perhaps be thirsty and need to hydrate myself instead of actually needing to eat something? And that has really been transformational. I find that if I have a little bit of water, I don't need the food. I just needed some hydration.
That's so good. Because for me, and we talked about this just a moment ago, but am I emotional? And you guys, in this little box off to the right on the screen, I've written blasted and given a letter for, or a word for each of these letters. And honestly, I can tell you, I have probably eaten for each one of these reasons. I've eaten when I was bored, lonely, angry, stressed, tired, excited, or depressed. Like I was a, you know, I didn't pick just one emotion to eat. I ate all my emotions. And I have to really check myself and say, okay, am I really feeling like I need to fuel my body, or am I just eating because I'm feeling big things? And instead I need to go back and stop again. And when we stop, we take a deep breath and we exhale and we slow down and let our lower brain engage with our thinking brain so that we can determine. I've even gone so far as to put a note on my fridge that says, Vicky, you're not hungry, you're tired, go to bed. And that really did help me with my nighttime eating. It was just a reminder that it's okay to feel the emotion. I don't need to feed the emotion though.
I think we all can relate to that, of just feeding our emotions. So then that next step is, okay, will this fix my problem? So for me, it was always chocolate that I would go to when I was having an emotion. So if I was stressed from being at work, then I have to ask myself, okay, will this stress really, or will this chocolate really make my stress go away? No, it's not. It's just a temporary thing, just a band-aid to put over the stress, right? So what will help my stress go away? Or maybe for you, it's chips or something crunchy, and that's going to satisfy your feeling of comfort. Maybe you're sad, but will that really give you the hug that you really need? Is that going to provide the comfort? So it's really taking a moment and thinking through, okay, what is really going to help me with that emotion, not the food? And even thinking through lists of things, what could I do instead of eat? What are some things I could do instead of eating?
That's so powerful, Carrie. You know, another question that I like to ask myself is, am I falling for a food fallacy? We at work, at times things are free, or right, you're out with friends and hey, I'll buy you a coffee or I'll buy you lunch. But is it really worth it? Is it something that you really need or want, or that supports your goals? Or sometimes it's a rare opportunity. Well, grandma only makes this once a year. Can we miss out for 1 year? We probably can, right? Like, it's not going to make us feel any better. It's not going to help us towards our goals. So really taking away some of those excuses to help us make that decision can be helpful too.
Oh, that's so good, Michelle. The one that kind of sticks with me when I think about food fallacy is, I don't want to waste food. I don't know about you guys, but did you grow up in the generation of you get food on your plate and you eat everything that's on your food? You don't want to waste it because there's starving people all over the country or the US or other world, right? And so for me, it's like knowing that that's not going to fix the problem. Would you rather waste it or toss it because you're not hungry, you don't have to finish all of your food, or would you rather put it on your waste? So that's just another way of thinking that. Another food fallacy is, well, gosh, I paid good money for this, so I might as well eat it. And that's not true, right? And those are dangerous words, if I could say, I might as well eat it because I paid money for it. What if you could give that away to someone else? You don't have to eat it because you paid money for it. You could gift it to someone. So it's just thinking differently, right?
Carrie, I love that you said that. I always tell people I might as well are some of the four most dangerous words, right? They just take us down a slippery path. Another food fallacy that I can, succumb to is, but I'm missing out on all the fun. Like they're eating X, Y, or Z. And I used to equate the fun with the food when the fun was really about being with the people. And so I needed to remind myself that. If I had to choose in the end, I often will give the example of if I'm having a bonfire, we're moving into that season, right? What goes with a bonfire? S'mores. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm having my friends in a bonfire and s'mores, which one would I give up first? I'd give up the s'mores first, and then I'd give up the bonfire, and I would keep my friends because in the end, that's where the value is. And so I had to remind myself that the fun wasn't in the food. And then another food fallacy can be, I just love food too much. And it's okay to appreciate our food, but we want to remember that our food is there to fuel us. And we want to be able to live a long life and find our joy in many other things.
When I think about joy and we have made it this far down the stop, challenge, choose, train, I'd like to consider how I can feel after eating this. Family's out for pizza. Is it physically going to make me feel good if I have that? Because I have been putting wonderful things in my body. I have been feeling amazing. So is having this pizza going to physically make me feel good at the end of the day? No. I can guarantee I'm probably going to be having some stomach pain and other things happening. Or emotionally, is it going to solve your problems? Are you going to feel better? Are you going to feel less lonely? Are you going to feel less bored? Right? It's not going to solve those problems. So we need to continue to ask ourselves some more questions.
That's awesome, Michelle. And I like to think of it too in the long term. When you're thinking about your overall health, if you were to think like a year from now, are you truly going to regret not eating that one thing? Or are you going to feel really proud and confident that you stuck to your goals and made really good choices? So that comes in with that stop, challenge, choose of really thinking, what is it that I want to create? And what is most important to me? Is it more important to me to have this thing that I want to eat, or is it more important for me to stick to what I promised myself to build my confidence and to feel really good about my results and what I'm doing for my health?
You know what? I love this last question on the list, and that's what do I want to have happen? This reminds me, you guys, if you're in your life book, page 136, I always have this one memorized because Dr. Ray reminds us that we want to ask ourselves, hey, what happened? And what do I want to have happen? And what do I want most? And I think those are great questions that when we stop and we challenge, and our challenge isn't just should I eat it or should I not? It's not that. It's asking ourselves these kinds of questions, which go a little bit deeper and they really have a lot more value than should I or shouldn't I, right? I think that these questions can be really, really powerful for that. And in the end, I love this quote. Don't give up what you want most for what you want in the moment. Oh my goodness. I'm going to say that again because some of us need to hear that. Some of you in the back, myself included, don't give up what you want most for what you want in the moment because it's just simply not worth that. So I want to share one other tip with all of you that will help you to get your best results, and that is to track, y'all. There are two things you can track. You can track your results, which is kind of like just stepping on the scale every week, right? And, if we're not happy with what that's saying, maybe we need to shift and be tracking our action. And so Tracking your action can look like using the guide in the back of your OptaVia guide where you're tracking, or using your OptaVia app to track. Those are fabulous. Today, I actually talked to several clients about just simply taking a couple of mason jars and using something non-edible like a marble, a cotton ball, a rock, and you have one of those jars represent where you're headed. It can be a number on the scale. It can be how you want to feel, a size you want to wear, whatever that is. And the other jar is where you presently are. And then every single habit, positive habit that you make that is supporting and showing your commitment to where you're going, you just drop it in there. I ate a fueling. I drank some water. I went to bed on time, right? And the things that we do, I didn't eat my fuelings. I hacked my fuelings. I didn't measure my food. I ate a whole pizza, whatever. We're showing the commitment in the other jar. And it's not to be punitive, just to help us be aware. And when we fill up the first jar, we're going to get the results we're looking for. So you guys, while we wrap this up, I have a couple of things that I want to be sure I tell you, but we have a question, one more takeaway question that we want you to put in the chat for us. And for those who are listening to the podcast, just consider this and ask yourself this question. But what one thing are you taking away from tonight's call that's going to help you get the best results and in the next week, right? What's one thing? And then don't just put that thing. I want you to quantify it on a scale of 1 to 5, meaning 1, I'm not very likely to do this. And 5 is I'm totally going to do this and be aware of this. So tell us what you're going to do and tell us on a scale of 1 to 5, how likely you are to commit to that. And then I want to be sure that you know a couple more things before we wrap up. First of all, this weekend is Dr. A and Dan Bell's Momentum Tour. The Optimal Health Tour is kicking off. If you have not registered yet, it's not too late. You can register at MomentumTour2024.com. I believe the in-person is sold out, but the live stream is going to be available. And regardless, if you signed up for any of the future events, you'll also have access to that live stream. So we're super excited about that and definitely recommend that you consider doing that. And then we want to be sure that you join us next week for next week's Optimal Health Community Time, because we're going to be talking into spring into health. So definitely join us there. And before I wrap up, I want to see what some of the comments were that people were going to do. Oh my goodness, I'm seeing a lot of people say tracking and blasted, reading their life book daily. That's so good, you guys. So many great things that you're going to do. So from Carrie and Michelle and I, we hope that you guys all have the best results this week. Thanks for being here tonight, everybody.